Nobody got the biggest piece. We all got the same size piece.
Mm. In our family of six, it was often first come, first served. But if there was a guest in the house, the guest always got the biggest piece.
You know, how you split a pie can tell you a lot about your values.
Yeah? How so?
Well, in my family, every one of us got what we needed. And if there was something extra, everyone got the same. So I guess we valued equality. In your family, the guest came first. You value doing for others the way you want them to do for you.
That's right. I like that. I'm
happy to
I like how you put that, Corey. Perhaps we could use these pies as an analogy for our values at Stone Church.
Sure. Let's take a look at the Stone Church financial pie.
So, if we take a look at this pie, we see that the biggest piece of pie goes to our expenses. Personnel and administration, and the green piece of pie for our property expenses. Just like in my family of origin, the monthly bills are always paid first and on time.
Yeah, and if you take a closer look, you can see that after we pay our bills at Stone Church, we put most of our resources into outreach and what we call witness.
That reddish colored piece, let's take a closer look at that. That's our witness piece of the pie. The pieces in this pie aren't equal, like your birth family's pie cutting practice, Corey. But we can see that this significant portion of our church budget goes to other organizations whose work we value. Take a look at that list of organizations on the right side of the graph.
By passing forward the resources we have beyond what we need, we empty ourselves of our privilege and we stand in solidarity with those whom we trust to do good work with these funds. We empower them to lead.
What you just said, Corey, is really important. Could you say that again?
Sure. By passing forward the resources we have beyond what we need, we empty ourselves of our privilege and we stand in solidarity with those whom we trust to do good work with these funds. We empower them to lead.
Like Hometown Hearts, the former soup kitchen, for example, we pass resources forward to our Hometown Hearts partners for them to decide how best to use the resources, to empower them to lead the organization they understand best. And as you can see, there are many other organizations we've been supporting in this way. In 2023, this congregation designated $42,000 to this kind of outreach.
That's a hefty piece of pie.
Yes, it is. But that's not all. Take a look at this. In this graph, the witness piece of pie is the color periwinkle, that purplish blue. But there's an extra piece in this pie. It's the darker blue piece. That piece represents the financial giving we do beyond the budget.
This extra piece includes giving to organizations like the Huntington Food Pantry,
the Market Bucks Program,
our Grocery Card Fund,
the Fuel and Heating Oil Assistance Program,
the It's a Small World Book Project,
as well as our Welcome Quilt Project, other art projects, and memorial funds.
We're grateful for the good work done through all these programs and organizations.
And it shows. When we look at their piece of the pie, the periwinkle and the darker blue pieces together.
But it's not just about money either. We empty ourselves of our privilege when we take the time to read books about racism as part of our It's a Small World book project. When we open ourselves to learning about history from the perspective of the oppressed, and we truly listen.
Projects like our Welcome Quilt out in the Narthex demonstrate our desire to stand in solidarity with those who are not members of the majority group. Our welcome quilt helps us to make the statement that we are open to listening and learning from the marginalized what it means to truly be welcoming.
And it's you, the congregation, that makes witness happen this way. Whether you give financially to Stone Church Financial Pie, or you read books in the ISW Book Project.
Whether you engage in discussions in Sunday school about justice for disabled people, or you bake scones for the alternative Christmas gift bazaars, alternative Christmas gifts bazaar, you make witness happen.
On behalf of the witness team, we say to the congregation, thank you for contributing the ingredients for our Stone Church witness piece of the pie.
Glorified God, in this place, in these people, in this body. Be glorified in the ways we care for one another, the ways we value one another, the ways we stand alongside one another. Be with us, God, as we pray. Hear us. Draw near to us. We pray for the many among us who are grieving. Today we especially remember Carol and her family as they are reeling after the sudden death of her sister's husband, David. Be with them in the shock and pain of this time. We pray for Anthony and his family who celebrated the life of his mother yesterday. May they know your comfort and your peace, God. So many around us are hurting in the sadness and the loss. Help us to weep and mourn well with those who are weeping and mourning. Hear our prayers for Dale, who is in the hospital after receiving a pacemaker on Friday, for Harriet, at the Oaks, healing from a broken neck and an ankle fracture, even as the nerve pain continues and she faces her diagnosis of cancer. For Drew, who has a difficult road ahead with significant surgery, and for Patty and Phil, as they worry for him. We also pray for Patty, who is having trouble with chronic pain. We pray for relief and strength and patience. God, we pray for my mom, Jane, in the midst of a new treatment after being sick since May. May this one be the one that works. We pray for Steve, whose vision challenges continue, and for the many among us who are living with cancer and with cancer treatments, for Linda, Samantha, Kim, Jody, Pam, Jennifer, for Calvin, who had a scan this week and is waiting to learn the next steps in his treatment, for Chris, for Jen, who is having daily struggles with her cancer, and for Jeremy's father. May each one have a sense of your faithfulness, especially on the days when it is hard, when it is exhausting, when it is physically painful. God, hear our prayers for those whose pets have gone missing or gotten loose and run off. Abide with the hearts that are breaking and needing healing, God. We pray for Julie, who is having some health concerns, and for a friend, Myrna, who asks for patience and understanding. Hear our prayers, God, for a neighbor family whose child passed away yesterday. Hold them close, God. We pray for the many things that are left unspoken on hearts within our community, praying that we can draw near to one another, even when we do not know all of what is going on. Be with us, God, as we pray for our world, caught in cycles of violence, and for the ways in which we often feel powerless to stop it. Do not let us become complacent or numb to the horror of it all. Keep kindling compassion in our bellies and show us the places where we can move and act and make a difference. We pray for those in Israel and in Palestine. We pray for Jews in the U.S. and elsewhere who have been the victims of anti-Semitism in recent weeks. And we pray for the Muslims who have also been targeted in this time. Make us peacemakers, God. Show us the third way. Be with us, God. Be glorified in us, in all of this messy, complicated, painful, joyful life. We are so grateful for Carol and for the ways that, for all of the ways she has experienced healing in her ankle. Keep her moving in the right direction. We're also grateful for Juniata College, for the ways in which it nurtures and helps people to flourish. For all the people it sends out into the world to do good and sow hope. Be glorified in us, God, as we learn more and more how we belong to each other and to you, how we need one another and you. Make us a body of belonging where each of us, all of us are a part. Be glorified, God, in this time, this place, this people. Be glorified in this body that you have called together in one spirit, now and forever.
Hear these words from 1 Corinthians 12, verses 14 through 27. Our bodies don't have just one part. They have many parts. Suppose a foot says, "I am not a hand, and so I'm not a part of the body." Wouldn't the foot still belong to the body? Or suppose an ear says, "I'm not an eye, and so I'm not a part of the body." Wouldn't the ear still belong to the body? If our bodies were only an eye, we couldn't hear a thing. And if there were only an ear, We couldn't smell a thing. But God has put all the parts of our body together in the way that he has decided is best. A body isn't really a body unless there is more than one part. It takes many parts to make a single body. That's why the eyes cannot say they don't need the hands. And that's also why the head cannot say that it doesn't need the feet. In fact, we cannot get along without the parts of the body that even seem to be the weakest. We take special care to dress up some parts of our bodies. We are modest about our personal parts, but we don't have to be modest about other parts. God put our bodies together in such a way that even the parts that seem the least important are valuable. He did this to make all the parts of the body work together smoothly, with each part caring about the others. If one part of our body hurts, we hurt all over. If one part of our body is honored, the whole body will be happy. Together, you are the body of Christ. Each one of you is part of his body.
It all started long ago when the truth fell from the sky. The truth fell from the sky and broke into two pieces. That's how the book, Old Turtle and the Broken Truth, begins. It's a children's book by Douglas Wood that Nana got for our boys, I think. The truth fell from the sky and broke into two pieces. And now one day, a man finds one of the pieces. It's shiny and beautiful. And on this piece of truth, there are inscribed the words, "You are loved." The man takes hold of the broken truth, makes him feel proud and happy. He shows it to his people and they embrace this piece of the truth. You are loved. It fills them with a sense of pride, a sense of value and purpose. Sometimes we think too little of ourselves. Suppose a foot says, "I'm not a hand, so I'm not a part of the body." Wouldn't the foot still belong to the body? Or an ear says, "I'm not an eye, so I'm not a part of the body." Doesn't the ear still belong to the body? If our bodies were only an ear, we wouldn't see a thing. If we were only an eye, we wouldn't hear a thing. We see other people's gifts, other people's roles, and we wonder what we can do. If I had $1 million, then I'd make a difference. Well, if I were the president, then I'd fix things. Who am I? I'm just part of a small church and a small denomination here in a small town. It's all about perspective, though. Who are you comparing yourself to? Okay, so maybe you're not as rich as Elon Musk, but compared to the rest of the world, most of us in this room are probably in the top 1% of wealth. Maybe we're not the president or even in Congress making the laws. That's fine. What gifts do you have? Because the scripture says they are all from the same Spirit. I look around and I see myself surrounded by incredibly talented people who are making a difference all around them every day. I see teachers investing in the next generation, seniors looking out for each other in retirement communities, kids being friends at school to other kids who need a friend. Where has God placed you to make a difference? What part of your story, what part of yourself is God just waiting to use? I remember the story of Art and Peggy Gish we told a few weeks back, those brethren peacemakers who even used their oldness for God's glory. It was the grandmother principle, going into places of conflict, knowing that there are some things a person won't do, some things even a soldier won't do if their grandmother is watching. I dare you. I dare you to challenge God to find some part of you, some part of your story that God can't use. Because here's the thing. God doesn't just work through us in spite of our brokenness. Sometimes God is most at work through our brokenness, doing the work of healing and redemption. You are part of the body of Christ, precious and beloved, and there is work to be done. Do your part. So you're a foot, not a hand. Be the best dang foot you can be. Sometimes we think too little of ourselves, and sometimes we think too little of others. A body isn't really a body unless there's more than one part. It takes many parts to make a single body. That's why the eyes cannot say they don't need the hands. That's why the head cannot say it doesn't need the feet. Every part matters. We are all interconnected. In Bible study this week, Rick said, remember the last time you smashed your finger with a hammer? He said, the last time, which makes you wonder about our carpentry skills, but it has certainly been more than once. The smashed finger hurts. But it's not alone. Your other hand drops the hammer and holds the hurting finger. Maybe you put it in your mouth. There's the quick intake of breath into your lungs, sometimes followed by the exclamation that may or may not be child-friendly that comes out of your mouth. Your brain kicks into high gear. Your feet may carry you to the freezer to get an ice pack. Everything feels the pain, and everything works together to bring relief. We are interconnected, all part of the greater whole. All are diminished when any are, and all are raised up when one is. We belong to one another. But sometimes we forget. We start thinking in terms of scarcity, like there's only so much to go around. And so we hold on too tightly to our blessing, allowing our neighbors to be diminished. And that comes with a price. As Martin Luther King Jr. said it, we are caught in an inescapable network of mutuality tied in a single garment of destiny. Whatever affects one directly affects all indirectly. Instead, this Bible passage invites us to see others as valuable parts of the whole. All of us, valuable parts of the whole. They just like us. It invites us into curiosity, to wonder how God might see them, to see the ways they are important to the body, and to make space for them to do that work to which they are called. It's not about pretending we can somehow give up our privilege. Instead, it's using it as good stewards of what has been entrusted to us, recognizing that we have a role to play, and so do they. We bear the image of God, and so do they. We maintain our identity and individuality within the community, remembering who we are, but embracing rich diversity, not conformity, rather than looking down upon those who are different, who think differently, who vote differently than we do. Rather than looking down on them, we are invited to be curious, not to try to cut them out of the body, but instead to see them as God sees them and look for the ways their differences matter to the whole. Maybe we can't fix it all. Maybe there's no such thing as a utopia, but we can create these pockets of it, pockets of resistance to the division and fighting around us. That's where this passage leads. In the very next chapter, when Paul writes, "Now I will show you a better way." And then he shows them the way of love. Love that is patient. Love that is kind. Love that never fails. The man took hold of the broken truth. You are loved. He and his people were filled with a sense of value and purpose. But then they started to look down on the others, those beyond their tribe, those who did not share in this truth. Great wars began and the world was broken. After many years, a little girl came along and sought to repair the world. She went on a journey searching for the other piece of the truth that had fallen from the sky. And eventually, with the help of that wise old turtle, she finds it. The two pieces fit together, the second together with the first, making it whole. You are loved, said the first piece. And, added the second, and so are they. Then people began to understand. Amen. Please stick around after the service for some cider on the sidewalk, some food and fellowship with other parts of the body just outside. We hope you'll join us. And now may you go from this place remembering that you are loved. You are the body of Christ. You bear the image of God. And so do they. Amen.